Okay, so this is our second message in a series that we're doing, and this is the spiritual discipline series. For any of you guys that weren't there last week, the first spiritual discipline is reading your Bible. So reading your Bible on a regular basis is the most important thing that you do for your spiritual growth, arguably. The other arguably most important thing that you do is prayer. And so the reason that I did Bible first is because you can't know how to pray if you don't know, if you don't read your Bible, right? It's like a conversation. So I want to ask you guys just to think about a person in your life that you have a close relationship with. Someone that you know, that you care about, and that you enjoy being around. It could be a family member, a friend. Does everyone have someone in mind? What a good girlfriend. So... how, like, think in your head, how often do you hang out with them? Twice a week, once a week, once a month?
7 times a week.
7 times a week. Is it your sister?
I don't know. Yeah, probably, yeah.
Because that's who I thought of, too.
Yeah.
Not your sister, my sister. Okay, so if you hang out, like, when you guys hang out, think in your head, what do you talk about? What kinds of things do you talk about? And now, I want to ask you another question, and this time, I can get some responses. What would happen if only one of you were talking the entire time in your entire relationship? Only one person ever communicated. Alex.
Wouldn't it be a healthy relationship?
It wouldn't be a healthy relationship. I agree. Would you be able to call it even a friendship if only one person ever actually communicated? Right? Like, for example, what if I said that my best friend was William Shakespeare? You're delusional, right? But, I mean, guys, I talk to him all the time. I read his stuff all the time. I always read the words of William Shakespeare, like, constantly. You know, doesn't that count as me talking with him? Don't I have a relationship with William Shakespeare? Well, no. Because I might know William Shakespeare, but does William Shakespeare know me?
No.
Right? So, the thing is that a lot of times people interact with God the way that they might interact with William Shakespeare, where only one person is ever talking. You might have someone that all they ever do is pray, but they never actually read their Bible, they never actually go to church, all they do is just throughout their life randomly they'll pray or something. Does that person have a healthy relationship with God? No. But neither does the person who always reads their Bible and never prays. In the exact same way that someone who never reads their Bible but is always praying has no relationship with God, or at least a healthy one, the person who's always praying, the person that's always reading their Bible but never praying also does not have a healthy relationship with God. Like, does that make sense? Because you're in a relationship with God. There's supposed to be give and take. There's supposed to be a conversation happening. And prayer is our side of that conversation. So it's in the context of reading your Bible, but it's really important that you're praying. And the thing about prayer is that you can read book after book after book about prayer. You can study all you want about prayer, but the only way that you're ever going to get better at it is if you do it frequently. Pray all the time. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. It doesn't say read the Bible without ceasing, but it does say pray without ceasing. Like, prayer is extremely important. And so I'm going to go really, really quick, as fast as I can, through the Lord's Prayer in chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And I'm going to talk to you guys about what should your prayers look like. And then for the rest of the night, we're going to be praying. So you're going to need the handout that's in front of you, because you're going to essentially be prepping for your prayer. And then we'll each pray on our own, and then we'll come together and pray for each other. So that's what tonight's going to be on. Tonight's going to be on prayer. But I'm going to give you a brief introduction first. So first, I'm going to read the passage, and it goes, "Pray then like this." And for context, Jesus' disciples just said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And so Jesus is saying, okay, this is how you do it. This is like a blueprint, a schematic, somewhere that you put your specific prayer into the framework as it could be. And we're going to be talking about what should your prayers look like. "Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." All right, let's stop there. So the first thing that you need to think about is that if you could only say one thing, you'd say the most important thing, right? If you could only say one thing, you'd say the one thing that you most want to make sure you communicate. In the exact same way, Jesus is starting with the most important thing. The very first thing he says is the thing that should be included in every prayer. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." What does that mean, hallowed be your name? Any guesses? Does anyone have a guess what hallowed means? So it means like be holy. So he's essentially blessing the name of God, and the name of God encompasses everything about him, but he's essentially worshiping. And think about this. We talk about how worship is, like songs specifically, is something that you're giving to God. Did you know that most worship is a prayer? Like, think about the songs that we just sung. I think that two out of the three were prayers, right? No. All three. Literally all three songs were asking God for something. Like, did you think about that? That all three of those songs were prayers to God? You want to know one of the things that you can read if you really want to grow in your prayer life is Psalms, because the majority of the Psalms are prayers, and they can teach you how to pray. But when you pray, it's supposed to be worship. Think about the stuff that God does in your life, and the first thing that you should be doing is thanking him for them. Romans 1 says that non-believers suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and one of the like showings of that is that it says they did not recognize him as God or give thanks to him. And one of the characteristics of a non-Christian is that they don't thank God for the things that they have, and we shouldn't be like that. So the first section in your handout says something to thank God for. I want you guys to write down in your personal life, what is something that you can thank God for? As we're preparing our prayers for later, what is something that you can thank God for? What is something that you can praise God for? You know, part of your prayer is giving God worship one-on-one. But then if you keep going, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which, wouldn't you know it, that's literally the title of one of the songs that we just did. This is where it comes from. But when we say your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying that what we care about is what God cares about. Because when you're praying, you're asking God for things. And Jesus is saying when you pray and you're asking God for things, ask him for the things that he wants. Not just because he wants them, but because as you grow as a Christian, you're going to want them. Think about the kind of things that these include. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's saying pray for people's salvation. Pray for the kingdom of God. Pray that the church would grow. Pray that we would share the gospel effectively. Pray about the things that have eternal significance. Pray for your other Christian brothers and sisters' spiritual growth and well-being. Like one of the things that I think about is that my grandfather, he just had a major heart surgery. He's still at our house right now recovering. And one of the things that I was praying for, like I was praying for his health. I was praying that God would let him live because it was pretty gnarly what they were doing with him and like what the problem was. But he's not a Christian. And first and foremost, what I was praying for is that when he almost died, it would scare him. That God would use his heart stuff to kind of show him his mortality and make him think about the need for his need for Jesus. So when you're praying, pray for spiritual things. Pray for things that matter to God and want them yourself. But then it keeps going and it says, so next thing on your sheet, pray for God's will. What is something in your life, a person maybe, who isn't a Christian that you should be praying for their spiritual well-being? Who's a Christian in your life that you know is struggling with something that they need prayer for that you can pray for them? What are things, like maybe a government leader, you can pray for our government. That's one of the things that we're supposed to do. What is something that you can pray for that is God's will, that you know is God's will? Write that down on your sheet. But let's continue. Give us this day our daily bread. This is talking about supplying needs. He says, give us this day our daily bread. That's your food that you eat. And one of the things that we need to acknowledge is that it's okay to pray for material things as well. Because who provides your material things?
God.
God provides your material things. When you eat food, God gave you that food. When you have a job, God let you get that job. When you are able to do anything that you do, it's because God is giving you the ability. Like that's one of the reasons that when we eat meals together, we'll pray before the meal and thank God for it because God gives you the food. And not necessarily in the sense that he makes it pop up out of existence, but God gives you the health to work. God gives you the job to work. God gives you a family, for example, that can provide for you. All of these things are from God. But have you noticed that he says, give us this day our daily bread? Why isn't he praying for tomorrow's bread? Any guesses? Why is he praying for only today's bread?
Because it hasn't happened yet.
That's potentially one of them. What else? Any other ideas?
Because he knows God will take care of it.
I'm going to submit to you that one of the reasons he's praying for this day's bread is because you know what he's going to do again tomorrow? He's going to pray for that day's bread. That's right. Each day he's going to be praying.
Elsewhere, it says pray without ceasing, but one of the things that you should be thinking about is that you need to pray frequently, all the time, every day. Your life should be dominated by prayer. Like I said, you can read book after book after book. The only way that you're going to learn how to pray is if you do it and you do it frequently. Prayer is one of the most important things that you do in your entire life because the person that you're talking to is God himself. But also, he's saying, give us this day our daily bread. He's acknowledging that the person who meets his material needs is God. When I was searching for a job a while back, I was praying that God would allow me to find a job. I was getting no after no after no, applying for company after company, and I either didn't even get an interview, or when I got an interview, they never got back to me, and then God gave me a job. And there's an acknowledgement that I'm not getting the job myself, God is giving it to me. And it's the exact same thing for everything in your life. You should be praying that God gives you the discipline to get through school. You should be praying that God helps you to do the things that you're supposed to do, that God gives you the strength to do your chores, that God gives you the strength to obey your parents, that God gives you the ability to do the things that you're supposed to do and the things that you need. So you should be praying for your material things because God's the one who provides that to you, and God is literally God. Like, have you ever thought about, like, you ask your parents for something because you know that they can give it to you? Like, mom, can I have that piece of candy? It's like your mom can say yes. And when you pray to God, how often do we pray to God and we're like, hey, God, give me this thing. But in the back of our mind, we're like, he's not actually going to give it to me. But you should pray to God for your material needs, knowing that he has the ability to say yes, that he's literally God, right? So write that down. What's something that you need? Prayer for my needs. What's something that you need, you know, just in life? Write that down. And then after that, he says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And that's repentance. We sin. We sin frequently. And imagine for a moment that you punched your brother. If you were to punch your brother, what is something that you might have to do? Do chores because your mom grounded you. You'd have some consequences. What's something that you need to do with your brother since you punched him? Sorry. Say sorry. That's exactly right. Because you are in a relationship with your brother and you have done something to wrong that person. Now, whenever you sin, no matter what sin it is, who are you wronging in every sin? All of them. God. That's right. We are in a relationship with God. And when you wrong God, one of the things that you need to do is go and apologize to him. When you sin, pray. Ask God for repentance. This is one of the things that should be extremely common in our prayer lives because a thing that's really common in our life is sin. So as soon as you're perfect, you don't have to repent anymore, but none of us are there yet, and none of us are going to be there this side of heaven. So get ready. You're going to be saying sorry a whole lot more than you might want to. But notice also it says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This is a very scary thing to pray for if you're not a very forgiving person, because you're asking God to not forgive you, right? So think about this, is that when you've been forgiven, you should be forgiving other people. Like, how do I want God to forgive me? I want God to forgive me immediately, fully, and without reservation. That's how I want God to forgive me. But that means that I need to forgive other people immediately, fully, and without hesitation. So think about that. It's like, think about the kind of forgiveness that you dish out, because it has to do with the kind of forgiveness that you receive. And not in the sense that you're earning your salvation, but the kind of people who are forgiven are the kind of people who forgive. But lastly, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or before we move on, prayer for repentance. You don't have to write down exactly what it is, but just like, pray. Pray for repentance. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, what is the most important thing in your life? What is the single most important thing in your life? Any guesses? God. It's your relationship with God. It is your personal relationship with God. More important than anything else in your entire life is that you're not supposed to be sinning because you don't want to sin against God, but you're supposed to be doing the things that God wants you to do. So in the very first part of the prayer, Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the first thing you pray for is that God's will be done. And the last thing you pray for is that you wouldn't be doing things that are against God's will. Right? Because each of us is a sinner. Each of us is going through life. We're going through difficult circumstances. So think to yourself, am I struggling with sin? Is there some particular sin that I'm struggling with over and over and over? Then I need to pray a whole lot. Because the primary way that you deal with sin is with prayer and repentance.
You repent for having done it, and you ask God to help you in the future as you resist it. And if you're going into a situation that's difficult for one reason or another, you know that like there's a difficult test coming up or anything else, pray that God will strengthen you through that. Pray for other people. So write that down. Prayer for protection from sin or an upcoming difficulty. What's something in your life that you know is coming up and that you are going to need God's help getting through? What is something in your life that perhaps is a temptation for you one way or another that you need God's help resisting? Write that down. So at this point, I'm going to go back over something to thank God for. What are you praising God for in your prayer? Prayer for God's will. What are things that God wants you to be doing, that God wants you to be praying about, that you should care about? Write one of those down. Prayer for my needs. God provides our needs. God is the person who takes care of us, and you should pray for your needs, and you should be recognizing that God is providing for you. Prayer for repentance. How are you sinning? How have you sinned? Write down what you need to repent for, or don't, just in case someone gets the piece of paper. But pray for that. And then a prayer for protection from sin or an upcoming difficulty. Pray for what's coming up, that God would help you through it. But guys, pray frequently. Prayer is one of the most important things that you do in your entire life, because I've heard it said that prayer is the thing that moves God. Like, God actually responds to prayer. There's example after example of people in the Bible who prayed for something and God gave it to them. King Hezekiah was a guy in the Old Testament, and he is lying in his deathbed, and God sends a prophet to him, and he says, "Get your house in order because you are going to die." And Hezekiah turned over, he cried his eyes out, and he said, "God, please extend my life." And God said to the prophet who was walking out of the castle, "Stop, turn around, go back to King Hezekiah, tell him I'm giving him 15 more years." So there are genuine situations where God genuinely responds to prayer. In fact, God replies to every prayer, either with a yes, a no, or not yet, right? But God hears your prayer. Your prayer actually matters. Your prayer actually does something. It accomplishes things in your life. But also, if your relationship with God is the most important thing to you, you're going to be talking to him a lot. You know, pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray at lunchtime, pray before meals, pray in the car. You can pray wherever you're at. You can pray whatever you're doing, but you should be praying all the time. You should always be interacting with God. So with that, I'm going to pray. And then we're all going to pray. Lord, thank you that you give us the opportunity to talk to you. It is not a privilege that you owe us. Lord, the fact that we're able to go in front of the God of the universe, in front of the King of all things, in front of the person who made us, the fact that we are able to talk to you whenever we want on our schedule is frankly insane. So thank you for giving that to us. I pray that you would be effective in this room, that you would help each of us to grow in our relationship with you, that you would help us as we pray and as we read and as we function in our lives to be doing what you want us to do. I pray that you would provide our needs, that you know what each of us needs. You know what we need in terms of food, in terms of health, in terms of whatever else. Lord, you are our provider, and I pray that you would provide. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive our sins, that if any of us have not repented for our sin, that we would recognize that we need your forgiveness and that we would ask for it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we continue in our lives to be avoiding temptation, to be avoiding sin, to be growing in our ability to resist it, and to be growing in our love for you. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to be the people that you want us to be. Amen.